Welcome back to this week's edition of Extra Points. Al Lorenzen, Casey Shelton, executive producer Mike Woody, cast of thousands, Mariah Lewis on the board, and we are joined, as promised, we always under-promise and over-deliver here, and speaking of over-delivering, Tony Atseni, Iowa Sports Spotlight. Tony, you're the best I've ever been around at knowing and understanding high school sports in the state of Iowa. Thanks for taking the time to come on the show today.
Al, you're too kind. I appreciate that. You know, Al, in this business, we're as good as everybody around us, and there's so many people that make us be able to do what we get to do and love every day. So I appreciate all those people, and I appreciate the words you just gave me.
Man, you're a lot nicer than I am.
Yeah, I would never say anything of that sort.
I got these meatheads in the studio here that I have to try to overcome every time we do a show.
Oh, you're working with Casey today. Oh,
yeah.
Now, never mind.
Well, and Tony, before we jump into high school football, because we do want to get into that, I bumped into Tony guys yesterday at the VIP, and I do mean V with capital V, capital I, capital P, the VIP cow chip throwing contest. And I will attest, Tony gave a very credible performance. He was not the champion, but he placed very well. Good technique. He looked good doing it. Myself, I darn near fell down the hill. I faltered. I think I wet myself at one point. And Tony was embarrassed for me. But Tony, it was fun to see you out there, and I think I can learn from your technique on cow chip throwing.
It's dangerous because it's a gravel path that we're on.
It is treacherous, guys. It sounds easy, but it's, you know.
Yeah, so you don't want to take a running start because all you're going to do is go on down the hill with it. And at my age, you're not there yet, Al. I'm scared to break anything, so I just kind of take a chuck and duck approach, and it usually works a little bit. Not as good this year as it did last year, but at least you get out of there pain-free.
What'd you end up? You threw, what, 90-some feet this year?
Oh, no. Last year I threw 97 and finished second. This year I digressed. I ended up hit that tree branch down that
route. We should have went. We'll cut that down before next year.
We got to make sure Casey gets included. I'm going to lobby Cal Bierman and Mary Sayre to get Casey Shelton included in that next year.
Yeah, absolutely. You got to embarrass everybody, man.
Oh, it's a ride. Tony, let's jump into what I'd like to do with your permission. I'd like to get into high school sports, and then if you can hang on through the break, I'd like to come back and talk a little bit about youth sports. We spent the first segment talking about, obviously high school football numbers dropping, something Casey is passionate, knows a lot about. We've talked about baseball and just talking about the arm injuries. You and I talked a little bit about that yesterday before we were flinging poo. If you can hang around, I'd love to be able to do a second little snippet on just behind the scenes with high school sports. You good with that?
Oh, that's fine with me too, Al. That'd be great.
Awesome. Well, let's jump into high school football. And obviously here, our listeners, people want to know about Central Iowa. But if you just look at the big schools across Iowa coming into the season, who do we look at? Is it the usual suspects? Who are going to be the teams to really to beat and the teams that you expect to be in the Unidome in Cedar Falls?
Yeah, here in Central Iowa, it's really the usual suspects. And you look at the districts, you know, you got Southeast Polk and Ankeny, and Southeast Polk's probably the team to beat in District 1. With Ankeny, who improved late last year, should be maybe the team that fights them a little bit. District 2, Dowling Catholic's the team to beat. District 3, you've got two perennial powers in Ankeny. Well, not perennial powers, because Ankeny Centennials do, but you got Jerry Pizzetti, the legendary coach there, and Gary Swenson over at West Des Moines Valley, and Casey knows what it's like playing for him. And then in District 4, last year it was Urbandale. This year it looks like it's Waukee's turning to me. When I look at what's coming back, and Milwaukee nearly did in the playoffs, they didn't get to the Unidome, but they gave Dowling Catholic, the eventual state champions, the best game in the tournament trail. I think Waukee's the team to beat here in the western half of the schools as far as Class 4A goes in the new district structure.
Do you believe that, Tony? Because when talking with
he's
a lot of
he's not going to lie to us. Well, of course he believes it.
When talking with a lot of coaches, they still believe that Dowling is the team. Dowling's got quite a bit of the power left, and that would be, you know, the team to knock off here locally. But Dowling has a lot of tests their first couple games. I know they got Waukee, they have Valley. I mean, they've got some tests early
trying to
give them. Yes,
yeah, you know, and I understand that. And any time you have a football in the hands of maybe one of the best football players in the state coming into the season, and Ryan Boyle, a quarterback who can beat you with his arm and can beat you with his feet, that makes a big difference. But overall, they've only got three guys who started on both sides of the football. So that's and Waukee's got a little bit more depth back. And, you know, in this day and age of defense and line play, Waukee won the battle and was right there with them last year in the trenches, and they return a good nucleus of that. So if they can – Waukee's issue, and I can see the problem coming from them if they're going to be the best, was at quarterback last year, but they had a sophomore, and usually the biggest jump you'll see is from the sophomore season to the junior season if you play varsity football, which is exactly what happened here. And I think that maturity process will help Waukee. They don't have to be great passing. They just have to be better at what they did last year because you know they're going to run the football with Allen in the backfield, and they're going to do a lot of things good there, and they'll stay engaged with their defense. But it depends on what happens in the maturity process at quarterback. But if that happens, then I like Waukee. Otherwise, you know, Dowling, the Valleys, and the Southeast folks of the world will always be the team to beat here. But it's kind of the new kid on the block, Waukee. Everybody's been waiting for years. And now I think it's time to believe in that program.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I agree with you. I mean, obviously, I'm kind of privy to what's going on at Waukee and Valley. And, you know, I hear that the quarterback has gained about 15 pounds, and he's really looking
so,
good.
That's funny.
Out there.
So have I.
Yeah. Well, yours is in the wrong place. But, you know, he's getting stronger as an athlete. Yours is getting stuck around your midsection, which doesn't help. But, you know, so it would be interesting. I know I'm excited to go to the first game a week from this Friday, I believe it is the Waukee Valley game at Waukee. I think that's going to be a true test to kind of get the rust knocked off for both schools and let the season roll from there.
And, you know, Kate, here's the thing that worries me about it, both Al and Casey, as far as this high school football season. You're going to see some very good games in the non-district, especially in 4A. But when you get to the districts, you're going to lose that. A lot of times you're going to end up with kids on the good teams playing half a game or just into the third quarter. And then by the time they get to the playoffs, they're going to forget about how to play four quarters of real good football. This districts are so imbalanced, I think, from top to bottom in the districts that you're going to have a lot of these. And sure, it'll build up depth for the future, but when you get to the playoffs, you got to be able to play four quarters of football. You're going to get beat, and that worries me. I've seen the Dowling teams way back in the days where they always were the runners-up, and that's because they never played a tough schedule while the Valleys of the world were playing those schedules. When Dowling started playing in what ended up the CIML Central, all of a sudden they were winning titles because Friday nights were a war in that district, in that conference. And so that worries me the most about district play here, and not just here, but across the state now in the big schools, because you're really good at the top and you're really bad in the middle to the bottom. And so it can make the unbalanced schedule. You're going to play great games in non-district, but once it gets to district, they slip way back.
You're listening to Extra Points here on 1350 KRNT. Al Lorenzen, Casey Shelton, joined by Tony Atseni, the Iowa Sports Spotlight, and we are talking high school football. Tony, when you look at, and this is a question, I love talking what to expect and looking into your crystal ball. There's while we got you, though, you've been around this area for a while. I think maybe since before Des Moines was incorporated as a city. But when you look at, obviously, the teams we're talking about are suburban teams. When you look at just the challenges that are in front of the Des Moines schools in terms of putting football teams on the field, talk a little bit about that imbalance, and do you ever see that changing? Do you ever see a time where you can have consistent good football in the Des Moines public schools?
Let me tell you, ask and Casey, and you guys know this already probably before I ask, when you look at the schools that are perennial winners, what do you have there? It's consistency in the coaching staffs.
Mm-hmm. And at Valley, when Casey was there, they did a lot of HGH.
I'm staying away from that.
I mean, you know, let's call it's the truth. Let's state it and own it. I mean, let's, you know, Casey,
come on, man.
He doesn't condone it. He made mistakes, but
we lived in the weight room. That's what it was. You basketball boys didn't know what a weight room was.
Well, there's consistency in the football programs, especially with the coaching staffs, and kids come to understand that. I mean, Des Moines East has had their runs in the past, when Coach Fisher was there, he got kids out of the hallways that had never been out there for football because he made sure that they had a chance to play. In this new day and age in football, the good schools you'll see on both sides of the football, you might have only one or two kids playing both offense and defense. You become good at what you do day in and day out at practice because you do that repetition over and over again. unfortunately, for a lot of these schools in the Des Moines public school system, you're talking about 30 or 40 kids or maybe half can play football, I mean, at the highest level against this competition. And they usually have to go both ways. You tell me what kind of practice you're running when you have kids playing on both sides of the football and getting any consistency. That's the biggest problem, is the numbers to get these kids out there. And you see a lot of times, if in any sport, if you tell me a good team, I'll tell you a kid that ended up at a different school because they are good at football, they're good at basketball. So the Des Moines kids who are really good at football, and you saw the kid over at Dowling last year in the secondary receiver, it was a Des Moines East kid, All-Stater. So, I mean, those things happen all the time. So even some of the good kids don't end up at that program because eventually they end up wanting to play that game at the highest level, and they transfer out. In the open enrollment program, it's there for everybody. So,
well, and you talk about dwindling numbers at Des Moines Public Schools. We want to talk about the numbers at some of the other schools too, but we got to take a break right now. We hope you'll hang on and can make it through this segment. The other thing is, when you talk about going both ways, I know that piques Casey's interest. So we may want to unpack that a little bit in the next segment. But Tony, if you can hang on, we got to take a break. We'll be right back with more Extra Points after these messages.